everything is said and done here. Wow. Last couple of Sundays, we've been dealing with the subject on the fear of God. The fear of God. And we spoke to you what the fear of God was and how to get the fear of God into you as to our responsibility before God. So I want to kind of keep bridging ourselves now on the basis of the fear of God, the backdrop of the fear of God, and then our responsibility coming out of it, our responsibility coming out of it. Charles Spurgeon, who is a pastor that ministered in the 1800s, he spoke to us, and he still speaks from the printed page. I was blessed with all the sermons that he ever preached for all those years in London. And he spoke on the divine sovereignty, the independence of God to move and operate according to his eternal plan in our lives. So God's plan is happening here in your life and in my life. That's divine sovereignty on the one hand. But Spurgeon spoke about human responsibility on the other hand, and he said they were like railway, like the two tracks on the railway that are parallel, and he says they never come together until eternity. But you always have neck and neck divine sovereignty with human responsibility. So I want to talk to you about the human responsibility that God is putting into your laps by the divine responsibility. It sounds like I'm kind of going up and down, so I will just take your cue. I guess she's okay up there, guys. I'm not speaking the wrong way. And let's just think of that this morning. Your responsibility. What an awesome responsibility that you have. You've been given life. God has given you a life. And he said to Adam and Eve, you've got the earth. You've got a responsibility. Do it. They became irresponsible and began to sow the wrong seeds. And I want to talk to you this morning about sowing the right seeds in life in view of what I've already said. So I want to ask you this question. Test your acumen here this morning. What would you think of someone that said, if your diet is heavy in foods that are high in starch and high in fat, you will lose weight? How about this one? The ladies laugh for sure. If you had two drinks of alcohol a day, it would keep you from becoming an alcoholic. Or if you just refuse to meet new people, you'll gain many friends. Okay. So you say, that person must be confused, or you're joking, Pastor Randy. The truth is, weight will be gained. The truth is, you will become an alcoholic. And the truth is, you will not have any friends. Or you won't gain any new ones for sure. What we're saying is, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Our text this morning will be in the book of Galatians 6, and I'm going to refer to specifically 7 and 8. In the King James language that was written a long time ago, it begins 7 and 8 and it says, be not deceived. God doesn't want you deceived. But he says, be not deceived. God is not fooled. You can't pull a fast one by God. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And if you sow to the flesh that lower nature that we still have as Christians, you will, of the flesh, reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will, of the Spirit, reap life everlasting. All the good that God wants for you and for me. Understand this truth as we started out. You will reap what you sow. Okay. Sir Robert Watson, Watt, Mr. Watt, W-A-T-T. He invented radar, but he got arrested for speeding. He got caught in a radar trap, and he wrote this. He said, "Pity Sir Robert Watt, strange target of his own plot." And this, with others I could mention, they're a victim of their own invention. Reap the consequences when we do evil, but you will reap the consequences when you do good. You cater to the flesh, it'll show itself. You cater to the spirit, it'll show itself. And so I'm going to talk about the laws of the harvest this morning, but just a word on this. If you happen to be thinking karma, don't get the biblical principle of sowing and reaping confused with the Eastern concept of karma. Karma is viewed as an unbreakable law of cause and effect that says for every action, there's a corresponding reaction, and the deeds of our life here determine the condition of our lives in the hereafter. Okay. The biblical law is not as deterministic as karma. In Scripture, our present deeds do impact tomorrow and our future. But unlike karma, we have a sovereign God. We have an overruling God. There's room for God's forgiveness and deliverance. And we have a holy, a powerful, and a personal God, the God of the universe. Karma doesn't have God. It depends on the one person. So, divine sovereignty, human responsibility. If you have the blue Bible in front of you, turn to page 826. We're going to listen to the reading of God's Word, Galatians 6, 1 to 10. And we've got Donna Marcia McDermott coming to read the Word of God. Ask you to stand, please.
Good morning, everyone. Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Randy would also like me to read from the Phillips translation this morning. So again, I'll be reading Galatians chapter 6, 1 to 10. Even if a man should be detected in some sin, my brothers, the spiritual ones among you should quietly set him back on the right path. Not with any feeling of superiority, but being yourselves on guard against temptation. Carry one another's burdens, and so live out the law of Christ. If a man thinks he is somebody, he is deceiving himself, for that very thought proves he is a nobody. Let every man learn to assess properly the value of his own work, and he can then be glad that he has done something worth doing without depending on the approval of others. For every man must shoulder his own pack. The man under Christian instruction should be willing to contribute toward the livelihood of his teacher. Don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. If he sows for his own lower nature, his harvest will be the decay and death of his own nature. But if he sows for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life by that Spirit. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Let us then do good to all men as opportunity offers, especially to those who belong to the Christian household.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you for the reading of our Lord's words. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates and it divides the soul and the spirit, gets right down to the joints and marrows, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. May the Word of God have its way as God speaks to us today, and I ask that you might join with me as we pray. Father, there are a lot of hearts who are yet tender from the days that have brought us up to today, with the OP going to be with you and the service and Peter de Groot's memorial service as well. We ask for those families that are still paining and they're hurting. We ask you to comfort them with the Holy Spirit and direct the attention of each one to you, but we are, Lord, to so encourage and uphold each other in this day of need. And if there be folks in our congregation that have paramount needs in their physical being, we pray you'd furnish to them, according to your will, that healing of body. It is our prayer that each one would be in good spirits physically, as they are spiritually. We pray that we would seek first the kingdom of God. And I pray that today we would open our hearts and lives to the word of the living God. Help me to represent you well as I speak your truth to your glory. May I speak with a gentle spirit, Lord, of love. Guard us from taking mental journeys that break concentration. Let us be quiet before you, sensitive to what you're telling us from these pages. Give understanding as we're exposed to truth, and mold us, Lord, and shape us. Make us into the image of Jesus Christ, and as your word is opened and we have your word in our lap, I pray our minds will be open to the Holy Spirit who will speak to us, Lord. So glorify yourself this morning, and let the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, Lord Jesus. I pray you're our strength, you're our Lord, you're our Redeemer. Give me the right meditation and the right words for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Periodically in our auditorium here, we have the lights get dimmed, and if they get dimmed this morning, that's not a sign to me, okay? I was at a service yesterday, and there was about 100 people who don't normally go to church, and I got around to try meeting all of them. Hopefully some of them are pre-Christians, and I talked to this one man, and he said, you were up there. And he said, did you not catch the clue? He said, the lights dimmed twice when you were speaking, and That's not a sign around here for me to stop talking. Okay, so just so you know, if it does happen here. Keep in mind as we come to the Word of God, we're looking in the book of Galatians today and probably next week, and we're in chapter 6 on human responsibility, so you can keep your finger there if you wish. But I want you to keep in mind this truth in case you're not aware of it, but the book of Galatians was one document that was written in Greek originally, and it was translated into English. It had no chapters, it had no verses, just one big document. So it behooves us then, it's prudent of us, to make sure that we check out the context of every text that we look at. Not in particularly just the verse before or the verse after, but the whole theme of the epistle. And particularly, we look back at this to chapter 5, and we see it helps define chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And why don't we do that? You look at 6, 7, and 8, I'm preaching on sowing and reaping. I'll read it again out of here. It's read now for the third time, but it says, do not be deceived. That word deceived, by the way, I had the privilege of taking a course in Galatians under Dr. Merle C. Tenney, and he wrote all of the International Encyclopedia. Just a genius, and he taught us, and he made us take the Greek Bible and learn it, and we were unable to refer to the English Bible, so it was quite a learning experience for us to be able just to come to class with just the Greek Bible and get the message of Galatians. But the word do not be deceived, he said it was a sense of Greek mythology that the Greeks had kind of written in, where they'd come around the corner and they would see this big dragon and he would kind of cast them into a spirit, into a trance, and they would be deceived as to who he really was. And he begins that in chapter 3 and 1, who has cast you into this trance? And in 6 and 7 he says, don't be deceived. Don't be taken in. Don't let nature, don't let your evil nature convince you that you can pull one by God. Now, guess what? You can pull one by me very, very easily. And you can pull one by the board easily. You can pull one by friends easily. You can even, for a while, pull one by your wife and your husband. But don't be deceived. See, God is not fooled. God is not mocked. God is there, and he is with us all the time. He's listening, he's watching, and he's with you. You need to live as if someone's watching you all the time, because in fact, that someone is God. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Okay? Make sure that's on. Now, I'm just going to read before I go back to chapter 5, but it says, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Guess what, guys? We have the nature of God in us. We're partakers of the divine nature. So I have Jesus Christ in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And out of that Holy Spirit will come forth the fruit of the Spirit in some measure. But I still have the nature inside of me that's known as a fleshly nature. And there's a response of that nature to the stimuli of life that makes me look more like the devil than it does Jesus Christ. It was Demas who forsook God, having loved this present world. So I have choices every day to make in my Christian life. And so now to interpret Galatians 6, 7, and 8 as to the lower nature and to the higher nature. Can I call that the lower nature and the higher nature? The lower nature being there is still within me, I'm in the flesh, and I'm capable of sin. But I have in me the spiritual nature of Jesus, and that's the nature he wants to fan into flame. He really wants to do a job in your life and in my life. He wants to make you like Jesus Christ. So every part of you just blossoms. He doesn't want you to act like the evil one. But go back to Galatians 5:19 and you see how you pick up this theme, okay? Galatians 5 and 19, talking about Christian responsibility. Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. You see, you have that capability of sinning with a high hand against God. Sexual immorality. He goes on, though. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. You can sow discord in a church. Dissensions. You can get into, you can just roll your sleeves up and just say, I believe this and I'll hang to it. We're to speak the truth in love. But go on. It says ambitions and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I tell you this, as I said before, that they who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when I introduce this series of messages, I'm introducing the reality of the scripture, and I'm not reading into it theological positions. But the fact is that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're talking about sowing seeds. We're going to talk about the Word of God, Luke 8:11, that the seed is the Word of God, and Jesus is sowing that seed. But there's also an evil one sowing seed. Jesus sows seed that there's true wheat, but the evil one sowing seed so that there are tares sown amongst us, and they look just like the wheat, just like the wheat. They will never inherit the kingdom of God. So, let me give you another picture. It is the day of your death. We're going to have a memorial service here for you. You're saying, I don't want that, Randy, right now. I don't want that. Okay? But at that service, you all want the pastor to tell the truth, don't you? You want told that day the truth about your life. What do you want said? What do you want said? Okay? Now, back up from that. How do you get to that point? What you want said are the good things. But how do you make yourself and be led of the Spirit? You see that point? By sowing good thoughts. By your word, your acts, your deeds. But let's go up further. Let's roll the tape just a little bit further than the service where you want good said about you. Let's roll the tape to 2 Corinthians 5:10 that says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you remember the fear of God? That everyone will receive the things in his body done according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So now, what do you want the Lord to say that day? Now, I'm glad it's the judgment seat of Christ because I will not be judged for my sins. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I want to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't ever want to be at the judgment seat of anybody else but Jesus Christ, because he's my stead, he's my Savior. But he will call into account how I sow my treasure, my talents, and my time. Got the backdrop? Okay, lots of backdrop going on here this morning. God doesn't want us to sow those sins of the flesh. But if you go on in Galatians chapter 5 and 22, the backdrop, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hey, these are the seeds that produce incredible crops in life. In a church. Now I bring to you another, hopefully an understanding. 98% of the people lived on farms. They were agricultural. They understood sowing and reaping. But we need to mention that because so much of the New Testament is written, and the Old Testament too, with the idea they understood sowing and reaping. We don't fully understand it But it helps you understand Galatians more if you understand the agricultural principle in Genesis chapter 8. There's always a seed time. There's always a harvest time. Okay. But you see how you can understand the flesh and the spirit in Galatians 6, 7, 8 when you read Galatians 5, 19 through 23? It helps us understand it. Okay. You're okay so far. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is the laws of the harvest. Our PowerPoint didn't kind of come out, so I want you to picture on the wall. When I give one point, you picture that on the wall, okay? And then you check it out with your husband and your wife later, because one of them may be sleeping or one of them may be thinking of different things, okay? And pray for me this morning, because I'm also thinking of my good wife, Sandy, and she had to go down to Nanaimo for a kind of an annual test today, and they have it on a Sunday, and I need that little girl sitting right down there beside me, but she ain't there, so I'm going to try and picture her, but I want you to picture the words that I say. And the first law of the harvest is what? We reap in kind the same that we sow. We reap in kind the same that we sow. You got that? So if you sow apples, you sow apple seeds, you reap what? Apples. Okay. Got that? So you reap in kind the same that you sow. Okay. Cows give way to what? Cow calves. Yeah. And then, of course, the milk's right there. Yeah. hey. Dogs give way to little puppies, right? You know. Monkeys give way to what? Monkeys give way to monkeys. They don't give way to what? People. Okay. We reap in kind that we sow. Law number one. Law number two. We always reap in a different season than we sow. We plant in April, May, we reap in what, July? The carrots. Hey, just a side here. I want you to keep praying. I want you to pray. I want you to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And you may not reap it today, but down the way, God's heard your prayers. There was even a man, I think it's called Abel, he being dead yet speaks. My mother's prayers were realized in my conversion to Jesus Christ. Mom and Dad, don't stop praying for your kids. I don't care if your kids are the worst taggers on the block or they're in another part of the country. You keep praying for them, and God's sovereignty will have his way with them. Keep praying. But keep sowing as well. Keep sowing as well. You know, it says in 1 Peter 1:23, we're born again by the word of God, which is an incorruptible and eternal seed, and it lives and abides forever. When we preach the word of God, it brings forth salvation. A lady stopped me out there just before the service. And she says, I got to tell you. I got to tell you, she says, I have been praying and praying and praying and witnessing with the word of God for years. And my friend has come to Christ this week. Wow. You see, the seed of the word of God. Yeah. Praise God. So, Mom and Dad, keep praying and keep sowing the seed. Don't ever, ever stop. We always reap more than we sow. So if you got a grapevine, one grapevine, get a lot of grapes out of that. So what's the first law of the harvest? We reap in kind that we sow. We always reap later. And thirdly, we reap greater. We always reap more than we sow. Okay? I'm going to take these in light of the bad and in light of the good in just a minute. Okay. The last law of the harvest that agricultural farmers knew about, and you need to know about, you can't do anything about today's harvest. but you can do a lot about tomorrow's harvest. Okay? Are you there? Now, let's take it in relationship to evil that we can sow. Go back in the Old Testament to Job chapter 4 and verse 8. That's just before the book of Psalms. We'll hit the middle of the Old Testament and find Job and look at what Job 4, I think it's 8. Thank you, Lord. Page 361 of your blue Bible. While I'm doing that, you know your pastor gets discouraged, don't you? That's kind of what happens to me at times. And I tell you, more comes at you that you can kind of shake a stick at. I mean, you just keeps coming and just keeps coming and just keeps coming. And I just got to keep praying and keep sowing, I guess. But that encouragement of that lady that came to me. And then yesterday, I mean, we'd gone through a couple of funerals, and they were good, and they really take it out of me. They just fatigue me like crazy. And I just get home sometimes, and I'm just out of it, you know. But a phone call yesterday, and there was a young man and wanted to see me. So, hey, we can do it. Let's go. Let's go for the money. Let's go for the gusto. Let's go for God. Let's not be weary in well-doing. And so I went over there, and I met this beautiful little family. And it was just a lift to me going home last night. And they liked the church. They'd been out once, and, you know, out of quite a lot of folk here this morning, 550 people. You won't know who they are, and I won't tell you who they are. But, hey, what they said was, we want to be with the church. We just want to get in that church. And I said, well, tell me a bit about yourself. And then he said, well, years ago, his family's not Christian, her family's not Christian, but I think he went to the little Calvary Church or something up north and went to our youth group here in 95 or something with Pastor Mark, and the seed of the Word of God was sown. And that word that is sown is eternal, and it's now bringing forth fruit. And I see their pretty faces here this morning. I'm not looking at you, John and Meg. I'm just looking the other way. But isn't that an encouragement to what the Word of God does? Okay, praise God. Now, I want you to go and look at Job 4 and 8 as we get to the sowing evil seeds. I have observed those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. You sow trouble, you're going to reap it. Now, in light of we reap in kind that we sow, evil what we sow, we reap what we sow. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not that you be not judged. If I judge you, ma'am, with the same judgment I judge you, God will judge me. So be careful how we do that. Got that? Number two, we always reap later than we sow. Just one little act. That's all I did. One little act. One little look. One little lust. One little one night. I didn't reap anything. Hey, got out of it. God, thank you. You didn't hold me to it. I got a loophole here. All I did was commit adultery one time only. I was on a business trip, you see, somewhere in the world, and the opportunity was there, but just once. It ain't going to hurt me back home. I'm not talking about myself. Greg, I'm painting a picture. But later happens. God's watching. You sow the wind, Hosea says, you reap the whirlwind, and Haman built what? Haman thought he could do evil and get away with it, and so he didn't like Mordecai, and he built some gallows for Mordecai to hang him on. The gallows were 75 feet high. Can you picture that? Haman was a big wig in King Xerxes' army, an evil army, an evil kingdom. And Haman wanted people to bow down to him. He really thought he was something. And Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. He says, I'll hang you. He built some gallows to hang him. Well, do you know what happened to Haman? I won't tell the whole story this morning. But the end of it is that he got hanged on the same gallows he built for someone else. You're so evil, you reap the same kind, and you reap later, because he didn't get hung for a long time thereafter. We always reap greater than we sow when we sow evil. One little act of adultery can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your children. It can destroy your kingdom. It can destroy your bank account. It can destroy your job. You will reap much greater than one act. You might check that out with who? David in the Bible. His whole family. So, anyhow. The last point is evil we do is irreversible. God will forgive, but what? Forgiveness does not erase sin. God will forgive, but forgiveness does not erase sin. Watch out what you sow. You sow an evil thought, you can reap an evil action. You sow an evil action, you'll reap an evil habit. You sow an evil habit, you'll reap an evil character. You sow an evil character, and you will reap an evil destiny. Don't play with sin. But now, let's just kind of wind it down here this morning, applying it to the good of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay. You're in Galatians 6. You got your finger there? Let's put your finger there. Now, just keep it there. And I want you to flip over to Ephesians 6 and 8. Ephesians 6 and verse 8. You know the Lord will reward everyone for doing good he does, whether he's a slave or free. You sow good, and God will reward you good in your life. You know, God is, he's got a register going up there of us. And he wants God-fearing people to take him seriously at his word. He wants us to realize that if we will sow good, we will reap it. And he will never, ever be any man's debtor. Okay? Now we're going to sketch these out further in other sessions, but I just want you to know that you reap in kind the same that you sow. If you're a generous person, people will be generous with you. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will others give into your bosom. You see, if you do good, you receive good. Ultimately, you're going to receive good as well. When we stand before Jesus at that great judgment, he is going to be able to say those who did good. He says, in of this, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. You see, when I'm doing good, it has the capability not only for tomorrow and this life, but for the life to come. And the good that you have done, Jesus notes it. I was telling our life group here, we got just an incredible life group there, you know, like Philip and Beverly, and we got Mike and Diana, and Randy and Sandy. Who else we got? Anyhow, David and Adele. But good life group. I don't want to take that mental journey away from what I'm saying here. What am I saying? Well, whatever I was saying was pretty good before I started talking. I was telling the story. Went for a walk just downtown there by Superstore, and there was a great big loony. Walked along, I thought, this is my day. Picked it up, flipped it, pocket, wiggle. Just came around the corner, guy says, excuse me. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you have any change? I said, yeah, sure. I got a loony here. Take it, you know. God always wants us to give to the poor. And it's important we give to the poor. And you say, what if you give the poor and they don't believe in Jesus? What incentive are we supposed to have? Well, God, he gives the poor every day without getting anything back. So, go. So anyhow, turn the clock up. Now I'm going over 7-Eleven and Sandy's not home. I want to buy a sandwich. And I'm walking down there. I just walked across the street from the hospital and took the, I'm at 2nd Street, just going across the subway, going to get, and there's a $10 bill. Whoa! This doesn't happen to me normally. Doesn't happen to me, you know. So there was a person coming toward it, and I was closer. So I took it. And I went in and I bought this $7.50 sub. I put the cheese on it and all the meat. Sandy wasn't around, you know, so my doctor's here. Anyhow, crazy thing is, I got that, and then I couldn't live with myself. That person probably needed it more than me. So I took that $10 and I gave it to the poor. These are little things, but they're seeds that last for today, tomorrow. You get the joy of the Lord if you do that, generosity of heart. And I think it will probably crop up on the day of judgment. I think it will go better for me that day. About that $10, Randy, I'm glad you gave the loony first. I'm glad you did give the 10 up. What am I saying? You reap greater than you sow. Oh, so let's go to the Word of God. How about tithing? We're going to get into that. Are you hearing me? That you're going to have to listen to me on further days on tithing. Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be provision in my house. And guess what? God says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. This is God speaking. And he said, if you will tithe, he says, I'll pour you out a blessing. You will not have room enough to receive it. Oh, do we reap greater when we sow what God wants? You see? Law number 3, you reap later. Maybe at the judgment seat, you're going to be blessed for your giving. But you reap greater now. And I learned this principle a long time ago, but I'm not preaching on tithing this morning. I'm just using that for an illustration. But I'll pour you out a blessing, Randy. You won't have room enough to receive it. Do we take God at his word? Or do we say, somehow, there's a loophole. Like, somehow, I can sin and it ain't going to affect me. Somehow, I don't have to do the good. And I'll get along just fine in this world. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. Oh, let's just go a little bit further than this as illustration. And then the lights will be dimming. The little boy, he trusted the hands of Jesus. What did he have? 2 little fishes, 5 little bagels. And he put them in Jesus' hands. 5,000 men plus women and children, about 50,000 people were fed. If we will give unto Christ, he will multiply. Now we get to Galatians 6, and we start seeing these principles working from verse 1 to verse 10. And we'll move into that. But let's just shut the Bible for a second. Let's shut the Bible. And let's try to recall a couple of things. Let's ask ourselves some questions here this morning. What are the seeds that we're sowing in this world? What are we sowing in our kids' minds and hearts? What are we sowing in our own hearts? Are we praying? Are we sowing the Word of God? What are we sowing today? Are we willing to sow what God wants us to sow as a church? And remember this, too. Galatians 6, it's written to the community of believers. As CRBC sows, they shall also reap that. Somehow there's a correspondence about things that took place. I don't know what they were, but as we sow, we reap. Somehow, I believe we've taken God too lightly around here. That's why I preached on the fear of God. And now, will you take this sacred word and will you do it? Will you do it? The seed is the word of God. You know what it can do. Let's pray. Father, for these moments, we humble ourselves before you, God. We love you, Lord. You are the sovereign God of the universe, and you are building your church, Lord. But you want your church to be holy. You want us, Lord, to realize the unholiness of some seeds which we've been sowing. And we know that you'll forgive us. But we know those seeds will bring things forward in the future that are not good. So God, I pray for us that we as a church would come holy before you. Take your word and sow as you want us to sow. We know the rewards are great. You said if we sow, it's like 30, 60, 100-fold. Wow, big time, Jesus. You want a lot for that man down there. You want a lot for that woman. You want a lot for all of us. And I pray that we'd be men and women who will stand before you with our responsibility. And I'd be able to see that some of these folk are going to get the gold medal for service and love and prayers and sowing the word of God and honoring the power of the word. Lord, I don't want to preach in my prayer, but I want to pray your best upon us, Lord. I want to be the first to stand up and say, God, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to give myself, my treasure, my heart, my time, my talent, everything to you. I want to serve you, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever, whatever, Lord, you do it all. And I just want to lead in this way somehow to your glory. Bless these dear people in Jesus as we sing this now. Amen.